Hello, everyone. I'm Crystal Bauer, founder of Live Greatly. After having practiced in mainstream medicine for a number of years, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. This revelation led me on a unique journey to explore exactly what wellness means and how best to attain it. My goal with this podcast is to share some of my findings to help my listeners find their way to achieve optimal health in mind, body, and spirit to attain success. Now for a quick disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author, and they're not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only, and always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified healthcare professional when you have any questions regarding your specific health, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. And before taking any medications, including any over-the-counter drugs, supplements, vitamins, herbs, always consult a physician or other qualified healthcare professional. So let's jump into the topic for today's podcast. And today we are very lucky to have an amazing guest, my wonderful brother-in-law, Chris Bauer. And Chris Bauer is a seasoned business professional with over a decade of experience in the luxury retail and direct-to-consumer sectors. Chris began his professional career working as a deckhand on a private motor yacht before moving to New York City. And once in New York City, Chris launched his career in the fashion industry, first as a receptionist at Marc Jacobs International, then as the right hand to Marc Jacobs co-founder Robert Duffy. Following his time at Marc Jacobs, Chris joined Donna Karan and the team at Urban Zen, where he supported the oversight of her brand and the Urban Zen Foundation. After his time with Donna Karan, Chris moved on to the startup backpack company State Bags as a chief of staff and then director of operations. And he's currently living in Brooklyn, New York. So welcome, Chris, and thank you so much for agreeing to be on my podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to start out by kind of finding out how it is by you in Brooklyn, because I know New York is having a lot of COVID-19 activity. So I'm wondering how you're doing and what is helping you most kind of during this bizarre time.
You know, it's definitely been an evolving situation here in New York. It's hard to believe that my partner April and I have been home in our apartment for over a month now, and crazy to think just how much has changed over that time. You know, in the beginning, people were gradually starting to take things seriously, and I would see groups of people in the park or walking around together, and I would feel like the awkward person if I had to walk out into the street or to the other side of the street just to avoid them. And now fast forward to now, and you see so many people that are doing their part to, you know, stay indoors and avoid going outside. And the streets are so much more quiet than they typically are here, with so many businesses being shut down temporarily. And really the only people I'm seeing on the streets are those walking their dogs. And now the whole idea of needing to veer off into the side of the road or the other side of the street isn't looked at as a weird thing. It's looked at as a common courtesy, so that we all respect one another's distance and all do our part to maintain that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know. I'm noticing the same thing too. Like at first it felt really awkward, and now I feel like I so appreciate it when people are like, okay, I'm going to go to one side, you go to the other side. And I also have mm-hmm. noticed in our neighborhood that a lot of people are saying hello and trying to ask, like, how are you doing? And people are a little bit more open. And curious if you're experiencing something similar in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's such a change of pace for everyone here. Now, it's recommended that everyone is staying in. When they do go outside, I think they are looking more for that human connection, that mm-hmm. that nod hello or a wave hello. And when you pass someone on the other side of the street, but it's kind of funny to watch how everyone has been responding to this. You know, about a month ago, when you saw someone walking around with a mask, you would see other people observe them thinking, oh, maybe that person is taking this a little too seriously. Fast forward to now, mm-hmm. if you see someone walking around without a mask, people are looking at them thinking, why aren't you taking this seriously enough?
Right. Well, I'm happy that you guys are safe and healthy. And I want to kind of jump into your background a little bit. And, you know, you have had such an interesting, unconventional path. And you've gone to two new cities without jobs lined up. And you ended up having such cool positions. And I'm just curious how you overcame your fear, you know, about putting yourself out there without really having anything set. And how did you go about doing that and like having the courage to take those risks?
You know, I think it's really a combination of things. But, you know, most importantly, I think it was really maintaining the right perspective throughout that time and not getting overwhelmed with the big goal I may have had, but instead focusing on the steps that would get me there. When I was planning my move down to Florida to get into the yachting industry, I knew I wanted to get a job working as a deckhand, but the path wasn't clear. So I worked backwards from my goal, and the first step was moving down to Florida. Then I had to take a class to certify me to be able to work on the boat. Then I could start networking and going through the recommended avenues for finding work. And throughout that process, I just kept telling myself that all of this was going to work out and kept my focus on accomplishing these steps one step at a time. And as I got closer to my goal, things started to become more easy and less scary.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, you had such incredible adventures with that job. Do you have any like favorite memories from when you were in the yachting industry?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the most fortunate things really was the fact for about a year and a half, 2 years, my office was a 165-foot yacht. We were lucky enough to basically follow the weather to wherever it was nice. You know, one of the strangest things was probably celebrating Christmas down in the Caribbean. Since I had grown up in Wisconsin, pretty much every wintertime I was having a white Christmas, and this was the first time that I was opening up presents in a bathing suit and worried about if I was going to get sunburned.
Right. I mean, you went to so many cool places and met so many cool people. So I think that courage that you showed by putting yourself out there, you know, definitely paid off. And then after that, I mean, you went to New York and kind of like the same thing, right? Like you didn't have anything set in stone and you just kind of always had the attitude like things will fall into place. And, you know, how was that when you moved to New York as far as, you know, finding your way and navigating that?
You know, I looked at it as another new adventure to go on. You know, when I moved to New York, it was the end of 2010. And coming after the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, it was not really the best job market to be in, but I trusted in myself that I'd be able to find something that would get me closer to what I would want to be doing for my next job. And once I got there, I started trying to apply for all different sorts of jobs. And eventually, I became connected to a recruiter that told me about this opportunity to work at a fashion company as a receptionist. And he had told me that it would be a, you know, foot in the door at a great company. And after about a year or two, they would probably promote me. But coming from the background that I had, I had no idea who Mark Jacobs was and really didn't know anything about the fashion industry. But thankfully, once I went in and started my interview process, I really had my perspective change on the industry as a whole. Once I started working there, everyone was incredibly welcoming and warm to me, and I really started to find this new interest I never thought I would really have. And as I was there, you know, I was the receptionist for the collection floor. So there would always be people coming in and out. And I took the opportunity to get to know as many people as I possibly could. And once it got to that point, about a year after being in the role of the starting the conversation of what other roles might be a good fit for me, I had seen that there would be potentially an opening to work for the co-founder, Robert Duffy.
Okay, so when you started working for Robert, I mean, that was quite a jump. I mean, so you went from being a receptionist or first impressions manager and kind of quickly worked your way up, right? And it sounds like a lot of that was from your, like, your social skills, you know, and your ability to build connections and to really connect with people. And I think that's definitely one of your talents. But do you think that's part of the reason why you were so successful at kind of moving up quickly in that field?
Yeah, you know, I really think that I was lucky on a couple of different fronts. You know, I think timing is really everything. And I happened to be at the company during a time where they really valued promoting from within. And they really cultivated this environment where they tried to give people within the company new opportunities to move up. So when I found out about there possibly being an opening with Robert, I started to look to the network that he kept within the company and who he talked to for advice or to bounce ideas off. And I started to talk with them about my desire to work with him. So when I finally had the opportunity to sit down with Robert and talk about my potential next role, I told him that the only one I was interested in was working for him. Then he went and did what he did and talked with the people that he trusted, and they all said the same thing back to him, that I was really interested in the role. They thought I would be a great fit. And sure enough, a few weeks after that, I found out that he wanted to move forward with me coming on as his business assistant. And, you know, thankfully, the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And also, you know, you're very fashionable. So I'm sure that also played into it as well, Chris.
Well, you know, certain skills can be learned, because it definitely didn't start there.
Yeah. So then after Mark Jacobs, you went over and started working with Donna Karan. And throughout those experiences, you were around, you know, quite a few well-known celebrities. And I'm curious if you noticed, like, any certain qualities in these people who have been very successful and things that maybe have led to their success. Have you noticed any, like, trends in their personalities or, again, like, qualities about them?
Yeah, you know, I think there are, you know, everyone is on, has been on a different path. But two of the really big takeaways I sort of observed throughout interacting with these different people were, number one, their ability to act on things. You know, rather than sitting back and thinking about doing something, contemplating about wanting to design something or launch something or build a business, whatever it may be, they came up with the idea and then they acted on it. And sometimes whatever it was they were acting on had a really great success. Other times it failed, but it was the fact that they actually acted on it that really set them apart from their peers. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the other thing that I really noticed was everyone really had this curiosity and desire to learn. You know, they were always trying to find new skills or deepen their knowledge of the specific industry that they may be in, or even learn from their mistakes. But they were always, or at least from my point of view, it seemed that they were always approaching their day-to-day life in this viewpoint of wanting to learn more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Those things are so important. And I think too, like, what you're talking about is, like, the not being afraid to fail. And I think that's so important as you're especially starting out, or, you know, trying to establish yourself or build your success, because I think our fear of failure can definitely sometimes hold us back from taking those chances. And I know that's helped me a lot as I've kind of been growing my business, is just to try and, you know, the fear is still there, but I do it anyways, you know?
Absolutely. And I think a big learning lesson for people is once you get a few failures under your belt and you realize that it's not the end of the world, that you can learn from those failures. And actually, when you realize that what the failures are the things that you're learning the most from, you actually seek out taking those different chances so that you can give yourself the opportunity to potentially fail and learn from it or possibly succeed.
Right, right. Good points. And, you know, on kind of that same note of all the different people that you've interacted with on those roles, and again, you've had a lot of interactions with different celebrities. And I think when we think about people who are very successful and well-known and famous, et cetera, you know, that doesn't always equal happiness. So I'm also wondering if you noticed any qualities in people that you've met who were very successful, but also seemed grounded and happy and fulfilled.
Yeah, you know, like you were saying, I think that is really it's a challenge for extremely successful people to take that step back sometimes and fully appreciate the success that they have. You know, more often than not, it's that drive of more or that lack of complacency that really leads them to their success. So having to turn that switch off and taking a pause to feel happy and fulfilled can be a challenge. You know, I think it's really the people that are able to gain that perspective. And I think people gain that perspective at different times throughout their life, but realizing where they are and what they've accomplished and taking that step back to really appreciate and have that gratitude of where they are, I think is a really important thing. And unfortunately, it's not always the case of how people are.
Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be like an intention you set for yourself, you know, like that. If you are a high achiever and you do have all these goals, that you also take time again, like for gratitude and for fun and for the different things as well, and not just focusing on the achievement of your goals, you know, to actually just allow yourself to be. But I think that is definitely a challenge for a lot of people. So, you know, you've been in really high stress positions in the different fields that you've been in and the different people you've worked for. And you've had really high expectations. You've had tight deadlines. I'm wondering, with all of this, how have you managed your own stress?
Well, like all things in life, it is a work in progress. you know, when I look back over the last 10 years, really, I think stress management has been one of my most important areas of growth in my life. You know, I've learned that what works for me right now is always going to be changing. But as long as I'm making the effort and trying to keep an open mind in how I can manage my own stress, I think I'll be fine. You know, one of the biggest things I think that I've learned throughout this is the importance of keeping perspective when trying to deal with stress. You know, when I was working at different fashion companies, there would be these really high stressful situations that people were freaking out about all these different things and getting so worked up. And at the end of the day, it was for clothes. It wasn't curing cancer. It wasn't solving the world's problems. It was how to make expensive clothes. So having the perspective to not get too worked up and not stress out too much about it was always really important for me. And sometimes it was, you know, easier said than done. But I also found that being active and being able to find time for myself, whether that be doing a workout or going for a run or just taking some time to myself, was always a really important thing for helping to manage my stress. And also, I think really just connecting with those around me. I'm one of those individuals that when I need a recharge, I recharge really well when I'm connected with other people and spending time with loved ones and friends. So I've definitely looked towards these different things to try to help me out during stressful times. And sometimes I'm able to follow them really well, and other times I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I notice that I'm always impressed by is you have like a very calm demeanor, even if times are crazy, you know, and you have a lot of humor. So I think you use that as well to kind of lighten the situations, which I think is so helpful. And, you know, I think you're fun to be around. So I think that all of those things help the people that you're working with feel more comfortable being around you. And I think you bring a lot of value to all the different groups and companies that you've been with your ability to kind of be cool under those stressful circumstances.
I'm only doing podcasts with my sister-in-law from now on.
Yep. I am curious too, you know, you're talking about like how things are so hectic sometimes about fashion. What is that movie? Is it The Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah.
Is that it? Did it feel like that sometimes? Right. I always wondered that. Right.
There's lots of moments in that movie where when I watch it, especially now, that I'll look at it and be like, oh, I remember when that happened. Oh, I remember when that happened.
Wow. Well, you know, I think you are definitely an optimist. And I am wondering whether you've always been like this. Have you always been optimistic and positive? Or did you think it's something that you've kind of learned or developed in your life?
I think it's sort of how I've always been, but you might want to check with your husband on that. But I've been, you know, I've been really fortunate just to have an amazing family that has helped to show me a great example to live by. And, you know, down the, like along the way, I've learned from my own experiences and come to believe that life is so much better when you view the glass as half full instead of half empty. And I think that when, you know, we approach the world in that sort of optimistic way, there's so much more possibility that opens up in front of us rather than shutting the world out by being pessimistic.
So we are about to come to a close, Chris. So I'm curious at the end here, if you could share what you think has most contributed to your success, and then if you have any last things that you wanted to add.
Well, I don't think there's one thing in particular that's really contributed to where I am right now, but I think some of the top things would be perspective, always making sure that I keep a good perspective on the situation and things around me, and really making sure that I surround myself with good people who make keeping that perspective a whole lot easier. And really being grateful for everything that is around me and everything that I'm so fortunate to have has really helped to ground me throughout it all. And at the end of the day, I really think that life is a work in progress. And as long as we all remain open to what it has to offer, anything is possible.
Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being my guest today. And thank you all for tuning in. You can follow Live Greatly on Instagram at livegreatly_co and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. You can also learn more about Live Greatly on my website, www.livegreatly.co. I'm available for speaking opportunities on multiple wellness topics and optimizing mental health. So please reach out if I can help you or your business. And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you all to awaken your ultimate potential.